the Marine Corps Code of Conduct, and the King James Bible.
I hate snake shock! I hate them! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
I'm entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting compound here at Area 52. Pastor Mike here, and I'm online and I'm live with you. And I'm going to move right into it. Not a lot of jibber-jabber at the beginning like I normally do, because I got a lot of information to give out to you. As you know, Bush, what do they call him, Bush 41, as opposed to Bush 43, died earlier. I think it was 94 years old, somewhere around in there. Former head of the CIA, former vice president under Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan did not want to choose George Herbert Walker Bush as his vice president running mate. He did not want him. I don't know what powers behind the scenes were working to bring George Bush in as his vice president, but all of a sudden now he's got George Bush as his vice president. Now, before I get into the funeral ritual of George Bush, and why is it that every president, every dead president, their coffin is taken to the Capitol building rotunda and placed in that little circle? And what is it that that casket represents? What is it that that casket is looking at? Do you happen to know that? What's underneath where that casket is? Do you know that? Who is the official head of the United States Capitol building? Not the birth name of the person, but the title that that person is given when they become the chief executive administrator of the U.S. Capitol building. What is his title? Very interesting things happening this week at the U.S. Capitol. But before we get into that, let's go back to United States history, March the 30th of, 1981. Just a few months after President Ronald Reagan has been inaugurated, and he is at the Washington, D.C., I think it's the Hilton Hotel, delivering a speech to trade unions. And as he exits the Hilton through a special door, just maybe not 6 or 7 steps away from the presidential bulletproof limousine, bulletproof and hand grenade proof limousine, shots rang out. As he steps out the door, shots rang out. And we remember the scene there as Press Secretary Brady took one to the skull. Also, one of the Secret Service agents, and to me, this is so cool. The Secret Service agents who guard the president are specially trained people. They are trained bullet catchers. Not making this up. If you go back and watch the video, and there's probably 100 different versions of this on YouTube. If you go back and watch as Reagan is, as the moment the shots ring out, as he is immediately thrown into the back of the limousine, one of his Secret Service agents, you can see them immediately squaring his body between where he believes the president is behind him and the shooter. And he immediately splays his body out as a protective measure to widen himself, to literally become a human shield to the president. I watched this and my jaw dropped because that kind of instinctive reaction you're not naturally born with. When bullets start flying through the air, our immediate reaction is to duck, run, hide, curl up in a fetal position, or whatever. And these Secret Service agents are so well trained that his first instinct is to not run, not duck, not shrivel up, but to immediately take a stance and broaden himself out. You will literally see this Secret Service agent stretch himself out like this to protect the president. And we know President Reagan was, in fact, shot, they think, from a bullet ricochet. And he almost died there that day. Now, here's what I wanted to say. That the shooter, John Hinckley Jr., take a guess as to who his father was. It was John Hinckley Sr. What is wrong with you? John Hinckley Jr., get it? John Hinckley Jr. was the son of John Hinckley Sr. Now, if you don't know who that was, John Hinckley Sr. and George Herbert Walker Bush were friends, former business partners in the oil business. That's Texas and Oklahoma speech for they were in the oil business. Now, what kind of work you do? I'm in the oil business. But both of them were former business partners. They were friends. And according to some reports that I read, the Hinckley family was scheduled to have dinner with the Bush family that evening. Maybe I'm wrong on that point. But did you ever hear in all of the information that came out on the mainstream news? Back then it was ABC, CBS, and NBC. That was it. Did you ever hear information about the shooter, John Hinckley Jr., that his family and the Bush family were very close friends? Did you ever hear that? I never heard that. But it's a fact. And now, do I believe that George Bush got on the phone with John Hinckley Sr. and said, "Hey, John, you know that crazy kid you got? Do you think he can arrange to shoot the president so that I can become president? You think you can arrange that?" I don't think that happened at all. It may be. We know that John Hinckley Jr. was a little bit deranged. And for shooting the president, they put him in an insane asylum. the story was that he had some infatuation with Jodie Foster, so he decided to shoot Ronald Reagan. I'm not buying it. Do I have any proof at all that there was some conspiracy to kill Reagan so Bush could become president? No, there's no evidence anywhere. But it does sort of give you the idea. Let's say that John Hinckley Jr. was this deranged, crazy person. And remember, George Herbert Walker Bush was running for president as a Republican against Ronald Reagan in the 1980 primary election. And, of course, Reagan got the majority of the votes, knocking George Bush out of running for president. So they bring in George Bush to be the vice president. Now, a more plausible theory is that because the Hinckleys were friends with the Bushes, that John Hinckley Jr. felt like daddy's business partner, George Bush, should have been president, so I will kill Ronald Reagan so he can become president. That, to me, seems to be a little bit more plausible. Because if you personally are vice president and you're arranging for the assassination of the president so you can be president, you want to get somebody as far away from you as possible. You don't pick the closest person to your family to shoot the president. You don't do that. But it goes to show you there was a clear connection between the Hinckley family and the Bush family. This was never brought up. Never made public. So it just kind of shows you. But it's just an interesting idea. Now, something I think a little bit more interesting is the date. March 30th, 3 and 30. What is 30 plus 3? It's 33. Am I imagining that? Well, I don't know. But let's look at Washington, D.C. as a city and the design of it. If you remember here a while back, I did a Pastor Mike Online broadcast concerning the layout of St. Louis, Missouri, which is where we are close to. And there are cities around the world that all have their own unique design to it. And in that design, there are buildings and street layouts that are of a very clear occult nature. Now, when I say the word occult, that word gets thrown around the internet like cocaine at a Hollywood party. And the word occult, I think, is misused and misinterpreted and misunderstood. The word occult means hidden or secretive. And there is no doubt that built into the building structures themselves or the street layouts, it's called geomancy, where there is a certain, the belief that there are certain magical constructs that can be made that will bring out the power of magic or witchcraft or sorcery or wizardry, or that will usher in a new world order in some way, or they are, I'll use a phrase that I'm going to show you here in a minute, sermons in stone. Now remember that statement, because I'm going to show it to you here in just a minute. So I talked about St. Louis here about a year or so ago, maybe 6 months ago, something like that. And back several years ago, I did a series when Dan Brown came out with his book, The Lost Symbol. I did a 3-DVD series on that book. One of them was called Capital Secrets. And it dealt with the street layout of Washington, D.C., some of the buildings, statuary, and so on, and the occult nature behind it. In other words, there's a secret that these monuments and these buildings are trying to conceal, and yet those who know the language of symbolism can correctly interpret what those buildings and what those streets are designed to conceal. All you need is the right key. And for us Bible believers, the key, of course, is the scriptures, the King James Bible. Let me show you what I mean by that. Let's see here. What button do I want to push? I want to push that button first and then this one. Let's start out with Crowley. Crowley wrote a book called 777 and Other Kabbalistic Writings. The word city in the King James Bible is mentioned in 777 verses of the Bible exactly. Now, I have up here two cities, a tale of two cities. One of which is Jerusalem above, or you could say New Jerusalem. That is a city built by God himself. That city is going to come down from heaven and will be here on the earth. And in that city, that will be the city of God. God himself will be the God of that city. We will be his subjects. And so I want you to think along those lines. Because man builds cities as well, but the way man does it as a copy or a what's the word I'm looking for? To copy something, like if you have fake money, counterfeit. Man wants to counterfeit God's design. Let me give an example. Adolf Hitler believed that his Third Reich had the power of the gods behind him, that his kingdom would be so powerful that it would last 1,000 years, hence the phrase, the 1,000-year Reich. Where did he get that from? It's the occult counterfeit of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Here, Adolf Hitler is a prototype of the Antichrist and the Antichrist kingdom. And Hitler comes into power, and I mean he comes into power. Here, this one man who probably is barely capable of winning a fight that he started, and yet he's the most powerful man in Europe, and everybody bows to him. Everybody does what he tells them to do. Why? And the people, their witness testimonies of people, German citizens who actually met Adolf Hitler, and they said when he walked into the room or when he walked by you, literally the hair stood up on the back of your neck. And you felt an energy from him. There was just something about him, something about his gaze, something about him that immediately drew you to him. It's like he had this attractive personality. Well, what that is the devils or the gods that are in him. And to anybody who is a lost person, Adolf Hitler is going to seem to be a god to them. So when you look at cities in the Bible, they're either going to be representative of New Jerusalem above or another city, another kingdom, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So every place in the Bible you see a city mentioned, they're either going to be a picture of Jerusalem or they're going to be a picture of Babylon. Which do you think Washington, D.C. qualifies as? That's what we're going to look at. So the word city mentioned in 777 verses of the Bible. Here is Jerusalem above. I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Think about that. Think about that. Jerusalem and the bride, which is the church, are one and the same. And very important, because there's a number that I'm going to show you why was Washington, D.C. built where it was built? Because when that land was first acquired, people were shaking their heads. They're going, this is going to be our federal city? It's a swamp, for crying out loud. The ground is so water saturated, anything you build on it's going to sink immediately. And they weren't kidding. But why was Washington, D.C. built on this particular location? It has everything to do with where it is. So we have the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the church. So we have Christ and his city, the church, the bride. Then we're going to look at the Antichrist and his city, which is also his bride. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. The first person to ever build a city is Cain. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And of course, we know that Cain is the man, the first murderer in the Bible, and he is marked by God as a murderer. He has a mark. Think about that. So the city that Cain built is a representative of the city of the harlot, Mystery Babylon the Great. We also have Nimrod. Cush begat Nimrod. This is Genesis 10. He began to be a mighty one in the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom. Notice this was Babel and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Notice that I have, how many fingers am I holding up? For those of you who are listening to me on the radio, look right at the exact center of your FM dial. Now, you won't see me, but just imagine that you do. I'm holding four fingers up. Why four? Because Nimrod is a prototype of the Antichrist. These four cities are his kingdom. And the number four here represents the fourth kingdom. And the fourth kingdom is the one where you mingle the gods in with human DNA. And of course, the first name mentioned here is Babel. By the way, Genesis 10 is the first place a king is mentioned in the Bible. The first time the word kingdom is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 10. 10 is a number for dominion. When Daniel sees the kingdoms represented by this image, the fourth kingdom that is to come is represented by what number? 10. For the 10 toes. So we have Cain who builds a city. We have Nimrod who builds a city. And then we have Genesis 11. We have the people of the earth in the land of Shinar, which is the kingdom of Nimrod. So, you know, we can make an assumption here that Nimrod is the king at this time. We don't know that for sure. So the Bible is silent, so we should also be as silent as well. Not make a big deal about whether or not Nimrod was the king of this city, because it doesn't say. And if it doesn't say, God is saying to us, that's not important. If it was important, I would put it in there, but I didn't put it in there, so it's not important. The important thing to remember is in Genesis 11, man is going to build the opposite city, the opposing city to the city of God, New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, built by God. The opposite of that is a city that has to be built up to heaven. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. He slimed me. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Man, it's in his nature. Man's nature is to ascend up. Let me try to build myself and build a platform for myself, a nest for myself, higher and higher and higher and higher. Remember, God is the one who foresaw man building a nest among the stars. That's Obadiah chapter 1. That's Amos, last chapter of Amos, I think 12. Where God says, if you build up to the heavens. If you ascend up to the heavens, I'm going to bring you down from there. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, though thou build thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. So it's God who is the one who saw man trying to achieve status of building a nest among the stars. And we have done that. We have built a city in the heavens, which is the International Space Station. It's the perfect example of man climbing higher, man trying to unify mankind and building higher and higher. We have a city up in the stars, and it's the International Space Station. There is an artist rendering of the Tower of Babel. Now, Solomon said, because Solomon's very wise, he was the original wise guy. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the thing that hath been is the thing that shall be, and there is no new thing under the sun. So history does repeat itself. So we have in Genesis 11, the unfinished Tower of Babel, a city and a tower that can reach into heaven. And lo and behold, in our modern times, we built it. We rebuilt it. This is the European Parliament building in Strasbourg. Looks exactly like, and it was designed to be this way. Designed to be the continuation of man's achievement at building his own city. Not waiting for God's city to come down from heaven, but we'll build our own city so that we can ascend up on high. That's man's wicked, defiled. If we'll just wait on God, God will either exalt us up to heaven or he'll bring heaven down to us. Either way. Now, there was an occultist by the name of Ham, Hocks, and Bacon. No, got that wrong. Menachem Bacon. No. Francis Bacon. I jest a little. Francis Bacon, who wrote a story about an island that existed out somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. An island, a utopian island. An island where existed a race of men whose god was science. And in this utopia, it was ruled by an elite group of Gnostics. In other words, an elite group of men who were the specially educated, well-educated scientists. And because they were smarter than everybody else and knew more than everybody else, they had the right to rule over everybody in this utopia. And that concept can be seen in just about every place of government around the world, even in the United States of America, including the hometown that you live in or around. I guarantee you, those people at City Hall, because they are the ruling class, they actually do think that they are better than everybody else and that they should be allowed to rule everybody's lives because they actually are smarter than everybody else. That's what Bacon wrote about in the New Atlantis. By the way, what is Atlantis? Was there ever really a kingdom that existed that, quote unquote, the gods became unhappy with and decided to plunge it underwater and bury it and kill everybody in it? Well, what you're hearing in that story is basically the account of a worldwide flood and the fact that God was very displeased with how mankind turned out and decided to destroy him. So Bacon's work, A New Atlantis, basically says to God, we don't care that you destroyed us in the flood. We're going to rebuild everything that we had before the flood, and we're going to add much more to it, God, because you can't destroy us. That's man's thoughts against the Creator. So, in the early renditions of what was known as the Federal City, it wasn't called Washington, D.C. till years later, but this was the design of the Federal City. The idea was, Bacon wrote the New Atlantis somewhere around 1610, somewhere around in there, during the same time of the King James Bible, by the way. And no, Francis Bacon did not, and was not the translator of the King James Bible. Don't fall for that stuff, people. That's a setup. It is a setup. There are people out there who think they're on top of every conspiracy theory in the world, and they're the ones setting all the rules and the precedents. So they developed this theory that Francis Bacon was the real one who translated the King James Bible, and he buried all of his occult secrets in the King James Bible. And you can't trust the King James Bible because it's an occult work. Well, if I can't trust the King James, tell me, who do I trust? Because all the conspiracy theorists out there say, you can't trust anybody. Yeah, and you're the first people on the list that I don't trust. If I can't trust the King James, where do we go from here? Where's the source of knowledge and truth? Is it their website? Is it their YouTube channel? The one with advertisements all around it? The one where they're raking in money from having their videos monetized? Do we trust them? Oh, no way. But anyway, there's a theory that says that the early planners, Charles L'Enfant, who is a French mathematician and Freemason, George Washington, Benjamin Banneker. Banneker, they fired L'Enfant. L'Enfant came up with this design here. If you see, let me get my red laser pointer here, my red pen. L'Enfant came up with this plan. And for some reason, he was fired. Washington took over. But Washington used, I think, a man by the name of Benjamin Banneker to help him out. But anyway, the idea was that this new world, America, this new nation, was going to be the fulfillment of Bacon's New Atlantis. A perfect city of man where knowledge is the ruling class, the scientists, the educated ones. They're the ruling class now instead of the posh kings of England and France and Spain and everywhere else. We're supposedly going to let the people rule over and elect those elite who are the educated ones, the Gnostics, the ones who know everything. So they designed this federal city, and they picked probably, as far as land surveys goes, pretty much the worst land that you could get in all of the New World was the area between Virginia and Baltimore, Washington, D.C. It's a marsh. Literally, it was a swamp. But why did they pick this area? Why did they do that? Here's my theory on Atlantis. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You've heard me talk about that. There were giants in the earth in those days. When, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. My idea is that all the stories of Atlantis, and I have a PDF book. It's called the Atlantean Encyclopedia. And a guy very well researched a guy listed, I don't know how many cities, mythological cities from cultures from around the world, where they all share a common link, that there was at one time a golden city, a utopia, ruled over by mighty men. And the gods or God became displeased. And they had this great kingdom where they had all of these inventions. They had technology. They were very advanced. And God or the gods said, well, they're fixing to be as smart as us. We can't let that happen. And then covered it over with water. Well, when I hear that, I think Bible. And I think all of the stories of Atlantis or Avalon or any of these other mythological places was you're dealing with the world that then was before the flood and the kingdom of the giants. The giants would then be the ruling class over all the peoples of the earth, and God was, and they corrupted all flesh, and God was very displeased at that. And so God said, I'm going to cover it over with water. And so to me, all the tales of Atlantis, those are the fossilized remains of what you see in the Bible. So Atlantis has been destroyed, but the idea is Atlantis will rise from the depths. I want you to picture that. Get that in your mind, because that has everything to do with why they took the body of George Herbert Walker Bush, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, Lyndon Johnson, John F. Kennedy, and all the past presidents, and placed them in the Capitol Rotunda. You'll see what I'm saying here before too long. You'll get it in a little bit. Hopefully you will. But the idea is that Atlantis is going to rise again from the depths and be this golden city that's going to unite all the nations of the world together, and we're all going to be one people again, and there's going to be this mighty man as a ruling class over everybody else. Those days are coming. It's not just the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and it is, but anybody can clearly see that with genetic manipulation that is going on, there is very soon to be a ruling class of mighty men ruling over the rest of humanity, because their genes have been altered to give them powers and abilities that regular humans do not have. Makes sense. To me, it makes sense. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So to me, that's Atlantis right there. Now back to Genesis 11. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Here's what Manly Hall said concerning the cities of old. The edifices raised by the Dionysiac builders. In other words, these men, there's always been a secret society of builders. Think about Freemasons. A Mason, not a speculative Mason, but an actual working Mason, what does he do? He builds buildings out of stone. Freemasonry actually traces its roots all the way back to the city of Babel. Because what did they say? They had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Who is it that builds with bricks? Masons does. And Freemasonry traces its origins all the way back to the city and the tower that God hated. That ought to tell you something. But there were those who worshipped Dionysus. Dionysus is a type of the Antichrist. Dionysus or Bacchus is the god of wine, the god of parties, drunken parties, fornicative drunken parties. There's another word for that I won't use. And Dionysus, or Bacchus, is also a little fairy god. In other words, he is a androgynous god. He is masculine, and yet he has feminine features. He is a male and female in the same body together. Hence, he is a type of the Antichrist. So the Dionysus worshiping builders. Manly Hall said the buildings that they build were sermons in stone. Meaning that because of the very nature of the mystery doctrine, we can't just come out and say what it is. So we are going to preserve the knowledge of what it is in the form of these buildings, in the form of these street layouts, in the form of these statues and what they're doing and what kind they are and so on. But you get the idea. Every place where a city is built, you have Freemasons who are laying the cornerstone of those cities. And there's a design to them, an occult design, meant to pass on occult knowledge to those who knew the secrets. Stonehenge is one of them. The builders of Stonehenge, I think they were giants, but the builders of Stonehenge, to this day, every year on June 21st, summer solstice, the pagans advance upon Stonehenge. They are allowed by the British government to actually be on site because to them, this is a sacred temple. Because in the morning of June 21st, the sun rises in this exact location and shines a light upon, I think, where the altar would have been in Stonehenge. In other words, they were worshiping the solar deity, and this temple that they built in his honor was built to maintain a secret doctrine that had everything to do with the solar deity. The Catholic cathedrals. You got to wait to the end of this broadcast, because I'm going to show you something about the Vatican that I bet you didn't know. Particularly St. Peter's Basilica, where they enthrone Lucifer. I mean, they enthrone the Pope. Same person. Where do you see this? It's going to be one of those. I mean, I'll be hitting that button a lot. The Catholic cathedrals were built by the stonemasons of old. Each one of them bears a secret. Why are there three doors on these planes? Is it because they have so many people? Are they fire exits? No. Why is there always... Where's my pen? Why is there always a rose window in these old Gothic cathedrals? Remember, these cathedrals always make the sign of the cross. What does that mean? The sign of the cross. What does that mean? And why is it that every funeral that happens in a Catholic church, that casket has to be set in this exact spot where the two intersecting lines cross, the cross point or the center point? Why? There's an occult reason. These are the Nazca lines. What deities were these ancients worshiping? Why did they feel the need to draw images of the gods and etch them into the ground so huge you cannot see them from the ground? So for years, nobody knew they were there. It wasn't until a guy flew over with an airplane, he's going, "Look at that!" It was meant to get the attention of the heavenly deities. The Giza pyramids are aligned and built in such a way as they perfectly represent the belt of Orion. And it's the idea of as above, so below. In other words, as the and remember what stars are. The stars are the heavenly deities, the gods, the devils, evil angels. So as the stars are here, so are things on earth here. The Message Bible. So corrupts the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Message Bible actually includes a quotation from occult literature by saying, "As above, so below." So the Giza pyramids were built, somebody noted this a few years ago, including the fact that they're not all in a straight line. One of them is offset a little bit, and that's what you have with the Belt of Orion. They match perfectly Orion's belt, as above, so below. This, to me, is very interesting. This is called the Temple of Heaven. It's in Beijing, China, in the Forbidden City. Now, I want you to notice there are three rings. To my knowledge, the King James Bible, as far as I know, is the only source for the true reckoning of where God actually sits in relation to us. Because Paul said, and I'm teaching on this, Paul said that he knew a man that went to the third heaven. How is it that the Chinese knew that God dwelt? Notice you have three layers, and this is the temple of heaven. Each layer represents one of the heavens. This would be the atmosphere above us. This would be the realm of outer space. This being the third. How is it that the ancient Chinese knew that there were three heavens? There's a dun-dun-dun for you. Now, what about the Federal City? Because that's what they were going to call it, Federal City. The District of Columbia. The original land that was purchased, was they surveyed it out, and they were actually forming a square. Think about Jerusalem above, or New Jerusalem. It is a city built how? Four square. So in the original layout of the city, they meant to represent heavenly Jerusalem, in that they bought, I don't know why I have all these stalactites coming off my pen, but I do. But anyway, that was the original purchase that they made, was it was going to be a city built for a square. And instead of it being oriented straight up and down like a square would be, they turned it like this. So what you have here is a triangle pointing up and a triangle pointing down. This line right here, let me zoom in on it, is this line here. Now, this line right here lies at an exact and a very precise point. And I'm going to show that to you. What is on this line? Well, we have the Lincoln Temple. The Lincoln Temple. What is a temple? A temple is, can be defined as, a place of worshiping a deity of some kind. According to the Bible, can man build a temple that God really does dwell in? The answer is no. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. According to the Bible, the true temple of God is the one that he built by himself. And that temple is the body of mankind. Right? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you not the temple of God? The Bible says, for ye are the temple of the living God, the Bible says. So think about a verse with the phrase temple of God in it. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we find out that we are the temple of God in the 46th book of the Bible. 46 for the number of chromosomes that we have. By the way, this is the Lincoln Memorial, built after the manner of a Greek temple. Look it up in Wikipedia. 36 columns on the outside supporting it. And they say, well, that's for the 36 states that were in existence when Abraham Lincoln was president. Okay. But then inside of it are 10 more columns. How many does that make? What you have, now remember, all of this is on this sacred line here. This is geomancy. This sacred line, you have a temple that matches the human body with a deity in it. In the old days, it was Zeus. Now, it's this deity. Abraham Lincoln. Why is it that we deify our presidents? Why do we do that? I mean, after all, we're a nation that separates religious ideas from civil political ideas, right? Not in the federal city, because everything about the federal city has religion all in it. Remember, this is a sermon in stone. What you have on this line, this sacred magical line, is a representation of 2 Thessalonians 2, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God with 46 pillars in it, showing himself that he is God. Dun, dun, dun. Now that line, let me go back to it. That line is a very important line, and its location very important numerically. Now we're going to bring numbers into it. There's a marker that is on this line. It says this stone marking the Washington Meridian. It was formerly located 52 feet 9 inches west of this tablet, so on and so on. So it's the Washington Meridian. At one time, it was anticipated that the new federal city would be the location of a new prime meridian. Now, if you don't know what that means, let me explain it. Right now, the prime meridian is at Greenwich Observatory, England. That is longitude. You can remember longitude versus latitude. Longitude because it's long up and down. Latitude because it lays down. Longitude, zero, they had to pick some place to be the prime meridian. In other words, we're gonna put these lines of longitude all over the world so that everybody from ships to airplanes to carts can navigate from point A to point B on this globe Earth. I actually have proof, positive proof, that the world is this shape because of lines of longitude. And I will be explaining that in an upcoming video. I'm not going to do it now. But there's proof. And it's easy. It's so simple. Anyway. Back years ago, Paris wanted to be the prime meridian. Longitude zero. From which point every other line went out around the earth. And the idea was the prime meridian is sort of the axis mundi. In other words, the center of the earth. The world tree, the Yggdrasil, where the Tesseract is. If you've watched Marvel Comics, they didn't make that up. That's an actual thing. But anyway, the prime meridian was supposed to be this axis mundi, or the center of the world. Did you know that if Longitude Zero was in Paris, France, that made Jerusalem exactly 33 degrees away from Paris, France? It was anticipated that when they established this federal city, that it would become the new prime meridian. But it never happened. But I have proof that the original designers of Federal City anticipated that it would be the prime meridian. I want you to look at this. Here's the early map of the layout of Washington, D.C. And I want you to notice this right here. The latitude of the Congressional House at 38 degrees latitude, 53 degrees north. Longitude zero. In other words, the Capitol building was going to be at longitude zero. Meaning they thought that it was going to be the prime meridian, the axis mundi, the center. They thought that the Capitol building was going to be the center of the earth, like Jerusalem is. Are you catching that? Do you see the occult overtones here? It was the anticipation that Washington, D.C. was going to be like this new Jerusalem. It's going to be this utopian government that everybody in the world would just join together with us. Here is where, since it didn't turn out to be longitude zero, and it ended up being longitude 77. Why that number? This is the top of the Capitol building. This exact location, the exact location where they put George Herbert Walker Bush's body to lie in state there. This is from Google Earth. Notice this, 77 degrees, 33 minutes west. Ba, ba, ba. It is that exact location. Now, what's the significance of the number 77? It is the lineage of Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, we're given the lineage of Jesus, starting with Jesus going back to God. Jesus, of course, being the Son of Man and the Son of God. There's 77 names in that lineage, and the word church is used 77 times in the King James Bible. Remember what I said, that New Jerusalem, a city, is also the bride, which is the church. So they just happened to build the Capitol building, the Axis Mundi, the center of the world, on longitude 77, which is the exact number of names in the lineage of Christ, and the exact number of times the word church is used in the King James Bible, denoting that New Jerusalem's number is 77, and they picked that exact spot to put the Capitol building on. I mean, look at it. It's perfect. Not to the right or to the left by even a hair of a degree. They put it at that exact location. Why? Because the spirits behind this. Because when you start limiting your conspiracy theories to man-made, they don't work. But when your conspiracies originate from spirits, spirits have a lot more power to do things and influence people than man does. And I think there's no doubt that spirits inspired this layout. See this building here? It's a pentagram, right? If I were to draw, boy, I'm lousy at drawing lines today. If I were to just start drawing lines, you see it. There's my star. Don't laugh at my star, okay? Don't laugh at my star. The Pentagon building. You know how many feet tall it is? Exactly.
People who do that should be arrested.
That was a little slow. How many feet tall is it? Exactly. 77 feet tall. What flight number supposedly hit the 77-foot tall building? Flight 77. Dun, dun, dun. Do you know when the cornerstone, the groundbreaking ceremony for the Pentagon building, do you know when it took place? 1941, September 11th, 1941. Groundbreaking for that building took place. They built it 77 feet high. Flight 77 supposedly hit it. And that's supposed to be an accident? I don't think so. Remember Waco? You know what highway runs through Waco, Texas? Highway 77. Let me go back to this number here. This number 77 and this number 33. Waco, Texas on Highway 77. Do you know how old David Koresh was? 33. I'm not making that up. You remember this guy? Well, that's David Koresh. Here's Highway 77. See this right here? This is where JFK was assassinated. Here's the grassy knoll. That took place November 22nd. 11/22 is 33. And here's Highway 77. Highway 77 goes from Waco, Texas, through Dallas, Texas, up into Oklahoma City. There's Highway 77. There's the Alfred P. Murrah building. Do you know how many columns were holding up the Alfred P. Murrah building? 33. You remember how they said that this building, we need to bring the rest of it down because it's unsafe. You know how many days that building stood before they took it down? 33. They pinned it on Timothy McVeigh. They had his trial. They sentenced him to death. They were going to execute him by lethal injection. This is where they put you on a cross and they kill you on a cross by stopping your breathing. Really? And Jay Ashcroft came out and said, there's some new information we need to look at, so we're going to put a stay on his execution. So they waited until 23 days after his 33rd birthday. And then they killed him on a table that looks like a cross. Humans can't do this stuff. Spirits can. Here is another pentagram. This is the layout of Washington, D.C., the federal city. Here is the White House as the focus of this particular five-pointed star. Stars represent what? Angels, which are spirits, evil spirits, evil angels, devils. That's one of the meanings behind that symbol, in that it is a star, therefore it represents a spirit of some kind, or an angel, an evil angel of some kind, is what it represents. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Because that, I'll explain it a little bit, is a representation of the planet Venus, which can be seen at two times of the day, or either early in the morning or late in the evening. Hath thou cut down the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. See the stars, angels, spirits. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, the church. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five things here. And we have 5 points. You've heard me talk about this many times, but maybe there's somebody out there that has not heard this and needs to know this. To know that there are spirits that are in high places in this country and in every other country of the world. And they always leave their marks behind them, their symbols behind them. And the symbol of these stars is the pentagram. 5 points of that, and there were 5 things that Lucifer says. And I want you to notice where he is and where he wants to be. He's been cut down to the ground, but he doesn't want to stay there. He wants to be exalted and lifted up so that he rises up to the heavens to be like the Most High, to sit in the throne of God, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We have the 5th angel that sounds in Revelation 9. I saw a star fall from heaven. I think these 2 verses are matched together. 1 Old Testament, 1 New Testament. They both represent stars falling from heaven. But in this case, the key was given to him of a pit. Because there's something beneath the earth in a pit, in a grave, in a tomb, in a crypt. If I were to use the word cryptography, or he's being cryptic, what do I mean? Cryptography is the study of what? Secrets, like secret codes, secret symbols, secret languages. There are cryptographers that work for the CIA, the NSA, and practically every other government in the world that are trying to crack other nations' secret codes. And they call it cryptography. And it's named after a crypt. And a crypt is where you put a dead body and you seal it up so that whatever this person was is now sealed and concealed and it cannot be known. So that, I mean, that you can see the adaptation of the word cryptography. Something that is sealed up needs to be unsealed. Are you catching the language here? By the way, this pentagram I mentioned is a representation of the planet Venus. Do you know what the Venus transit is? This is on my cool list. Every 8 years, the planet Venus crosses between us and the sun. Okay, it's a fact. Now, there are certain people who don't like that. They say, that's not possible. But it is. And it's there. And people can see it. Anybody with a telescope can see this. The planet Venus crosses or transits the sun every 8 years and actually goes between us and the sun. And we can see it path going through the sun. It happened just, I think, in 2012. But during that 8-year time, guess what? The planet Venus draws a 5-pointed star in the sky. I'm not making this up! So remember, as above, so below, remember the Giza pyramids fashioned after the 3 stars that make up the belt of Orion? As above, you have the planet Venus making a pentagram. So in the street layout of Washington, D.C., they designed the Venus transit. The stars above shining down upon us and us echoing back by building a street layout or a street design or a building or whatever in the same shape that the stars above draw for us in the sky. As above, so below. That's what that represents. In other words, whatever the stars say, that's what we'll do. Take a look at your screen. You remember these guys? The miners from Chile. Chi, 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 le, le, le. Now, I remember when this first made the news that there were miners trapped in Chile. And then I heard the number 33. And in my mind, I heard this. And I got to thinking, 33 trapped in a pit in the heart of the earth. It's a coincidence, right? Well, I'll tell you this now. I didn't say anything years ago, and you can believe me or not. But I had it figured almost to the day when they were going to pull these miners out. 33 miners down in the heart of the earth. 33 is one of the numbers for the Antichrist. The phrase, the beast, is 33 times in the New Testament King James Bible. They're in the heart of the earth. You know how many days? They had three teams drilling, Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. You know how many days? It was Plan B, an American drill team that finally broke through to the. Do you know how many days they drilled? Take a guess how many days they drilled. 33 days exactly. Then to rescue them, they made a specially built capsule called the Phoenix. The Phoenix is named after the mythological bird, or let's say, being with wings, like a spirit, a star, an angel. And the Phoenix descends down into the flames in the heart of the earth, and then is resurrected, given new birth. If you watch the movie, The 33, you'll hear them talk about that. You'll hear them talk about new birth or rising up or whatever. But anyway, they specifically called that capsule the Phoenix because of the symbolic representation. And the Phoenix is nothing other than the Antichrist. It's in symbolic form. Every one of those miners was given a t-shirt to wear. They were sent down. The first contact they made, they had bored a hole down there, and they were able to drop supplies down. That's how they stayed alive that long. But they sent down these specially made t-shirts, and they said, put these on, because we're all going to wear the same shirt when we come up. And every one of them had a pentagram on them, a star. Get the symbolism here. 33 stars. 33 spirits. Trapped in a pit. And they need to be released so they can live again. Do you get the symbolism? 33 stars. Actually, there's 32 stars. But this here is the blazing star of Freemasonry, 33. Here's another meaning for the pentagon or the pentagram. It's an altar. This comic book, I bought it, Night Force, and they basically showed a woman laying on a pentagram having a ritual performed. I won't tell you what the ritual was. Kathy Burns says, the Great Rite Invocation specially declares that the body of the woman taking part is an altar, with her womb and generative organs as its sacred focus, and it reveres it as such. The high priestess, then lays herself down towards the altar and arms and legs outstretched to form the pentagram. In every pentagram, the angles of that, in other words, from this line to this line, is a 72-degree angle. The number 72 plays very high importance here. This is the ceiling of the Capitol Rotunda. You would think with a nation with 50 states, there would be 50 stars here, but there's not. There are 72 stars. And remember what stars are. They're gods, they're spirits, they're angels. In the Kabbalah, there's 72 names of God. Not really. Not in the Bible. But in the Kabbalah, they have 72 names for God. Why? Why that number? In the unfinished pyramid is like the unfinished Tower of Babel. It needs to be completed. The work needs to be done. But Manly Hall says, in the Great Seal of the United States of America, there are 72 stones in that unfinished pyramid. What do those 72 stones represent? What do those 72 stars represent? What do those 72 degrees represent? This is the National Archives Building, Washington, D.C. It houses sacred documents. It has 72 pillars in it. 72 pillars that surround, like these 72 stars, these sacred documents. What does that mean? There's a myth. The death of Osiris, or the murder of Osiris. Osiris is another picture of the Antichrist, the man of sin. Osiris, the sun god. Osiris is murdered, and they placed his body into a casket, and 72 pallbearers carried his casket. 72. Why? Genesis chapter 10, where the fourth kingdom is mentioned. You have the kingdom of Nimrod and the four cities that he built. The tribes after the flood came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I counted the names of the different tribes of the earth according to Genesis 10. There are exactly 72. Speaking of crypt and cryptography and things being sealed, the word seal or sealed, S-E-A-L, in the King James Bible. In fact, type in the word seal, S-E-A-L, and put an asterisk next to it. You're going to find all the versions of the word seal. Do that. Guess what number you're going to come up with? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to make you download software and look it up yourself. Seal, S-E-A-L, with an asterisk next to it. And it's a reference to a book that's sealed, that is waiting to be unsealed. And how many times is that word in the King James Bible? Here is the Kennedy Memorial in Dallas, Texas. When they built this thing, everybody went, "That's the stupidest looking memorial to Jack Kennedy that could ever be come up with. What in the world were they thinking?" Well, notice how most of these, they couldn't obviously get the thing to float in midair. So what they did was they kept most of these pillars off of the ground. I want you to think about this. Because these pillars connect heaven and earth together. As above, so below. Connecting heaven and earth, you know what that is. By the way, it's four square. This particular memorial, which is in downtown Dallas, Texas, is called a cenotaph. And there are cenotaphs around the world, different memorials and so on. But the name itself means empty tomb. And the little square there in the ground, right here with Kennedy's name on it, basically, it denotes that there was a body here, but now it's gone. It's the empty tomb. In other words, there was a dead God here, and now he's not here anymore. See how it mocks Jesus and mimics Jesus? Oh, how many pillars are there? 72. Exactly. 72. Now back to these stars here. Let's see here. This unfinished pyramid was the focus of Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol. Look at it like this. You have one corner here and one corner here. And those are joining together to bring about this one. All of these stones being added together, the 72 stones. Anuit Coeptus, he favors. Who is it? What famous president made the New World Order speech? George Herbert Walker Bush. He favors the birth of a new world order. So take a look at that imagery there. Here again is the United States Capitol. Now remember, this is at longitude 77 and 33 minutes. Notice the street layout here. It forms an unfinished pyramid with the Capitol being its capstone, or all-seeing eye capstone. The place where man unites together to bring about a new world order. That's what Bush wanted. That's what a lot of world leaders want. They want this new world order where we all get along and get together. So the Capitol building itself, this is called the reflecting pool. Notice the symbolism here. Because you have the Capitol building, but then the reflecting pool makes it look like there's another one down below. What you have in any reflecting pool, whether it's like in Washington, D.C., or there's one in St. Louis, or those who perform scrying, a gazing bowl, a crystal ball, or they look into a bowl of mercury, a bowl of water, or they gaze into a silvery pond or something like that. It's the idea of reflection, echo. What happens so that anything that happens up here will also be reflected down here. That's as above, so below. And it's basically the union or the uniting of two worlds together, the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. That's what the reflecting pool is all about in Washington, D.C. George Washington is the one who laid the cornerstone to this particular building. Masonic ceremony. This is an actual photograph of a painting, an artist's rendition. There's no photographs of George Washington laying a foundation stone. But on this particular ceremony, when Masons perform a cornerstone ceremony, they take the stone that has been perfected by the hands of man. That's why he's holding a hammer. He's holding the Mason's tool in his hand. And then on this stone, they will pour three items. Three items. Corn, wine, and oil. Why? Masons come up with some goofy thing. Well, the corn represents this, and the wine represents this, and the oil. Don't believe them. Because God actually tells you why. They're offering what they're doing is they're performing a ritual of offering a sacrifice to this God, the stone, the keystone, the cornerstone. Remember who the cornerstone is. It's Christ. This cornerstone is the Antichrist, and they've offered it a sacrifice of corn, wine, and oil. Do you know what the Bible says about that? Deuteronomy 28, for the sins of Israel, God said he would send a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil. This, the nation of fierce countenance, brings the king of fierce countenance, mentioned in the book of Daniel, and he's going to come and eat all of their corn, wine, and oil. You see, if you have the key, the King James Bible, you can unlock every Masonic secret there is. The design of the Capitol itself is designed after a pagan temple, the Temple of Vesta. Have you ever heard of the phrase vestibule? A vestibule. When I was growing up here, everybody referred to the lobby or the foyer of our church as the church vestibule. I just thought that was a church word. It's not. Vesta is the goddess of the hearth. Now, there actually used to be where they put George Bush's body. There at the center, there actually used to be a little fireplace there. Because Vesta was the goddess of the hearth. It took me a while to figure that one out. Because the hearth or the fireplace in old homes used to be in the center of the home or the heart. Hence the word hearth. The heart of the home. Why? So that the entire home could be heated by, so that all the rooms all the way around could be heated by the fire of the fireplace. So what that really represents, the hearth, the fireplace in the center of the house, represents the fire that's in the heart of the earth. Bam, bam, bam. So Vesta, the goddess of the hearth, is actually Mystery Babylon, the mother of hell, the goddess of hell herself. That's why they designed that round structure. You go look it up. It's designed after the Temple of Vesta, the heart, the goddess of the hearth. Then we have the Capitol Dome. What does that represent? Well, it represents a couple things. Anytime you have a dome, there's this natural idea of the dome of the heavens. The exact science of, this is Manly Hall, the exact science of human regeneration is the lost key of Masonry. Notice human regeneration. You know what that is? Bringing dead men back to life, or a dead person back to life. The Antichrist, this man of sin, the son of perdition, was, is not, and yet is, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, the Bible says. So anything dealing with human regeneration, taking dead things and making them live again, has to do with the Antichrist. The exact science of human regeneration is the lost key of Masonry, for when the spirit fire is lifted up through the 33 degrees or segments in the spinal column and enters into the domed chamber of the human skull. He's talking about Kundalini here. Kundalini basically teaches that you have a bone. Watch this. You have a bone at the bottom of your spine called the sacrum. S-A-C-R-U-M. You know why it's called that? It means the sacred bone or the sacred place, the holy place. in crude terms, they're saying your butt is a holy place. No drums intended here. That's not funny. Literally, that's where this serpent, this beast, dwells. And this beast is in the heart, their sacred place, of the earth, in the fire, in a pit, and wants to be freed. So he comes up the 33 bones. How many miners were there? How many days did they drill? How many hours did it take to get them out? 33. This beast rises up the 33 bones and enters the dome, which is the heavens, which is the most high place of your body, where God dwells. You see the symbolism of it? I will ascend into heaven. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now he's down on the ground. Now he wants to ascend up on high and be in the heavens, in the most high place of the skull, the dome skull. As the dome of the heavens was likened to a skull in the Gothic mysteries, so the birds which flew across the sky were regarded as the thoughts of the deity. Manly Hall, Secret Teaching of All Ages. In other words, that dome in the capital represents heaven. Now, I'm getting really to the point. When I heard that George Bush died, I thought, I bet they're going to do this thing. I bet they're going to bring him to the Capitol Rotunda and set him there for, I wonder how many days was he there? I didn't look that up. If somebody who knows my cell phone, send me a text message and I'll announce it. How many days did George Bush lie in state there? I don't know. I did see, who was it? Senator Bob Dole? I mean, you know, these guys were friends. It was touching. Bob Dole comes in a wheelchair and they help him up and he stands there, he salutes the president. Both of them, I think, served in the military. But anyway, so the dome represents the heavens. So think about it. By the way, the Vatican has one of those too. I'm going to show you something about the Vatican. I bet you didn't know. I bet you didn't know this about the U.S. Capitol either. Why put that president in? Why not put him in state in the White House? Why not? Why not just because the Bushes are all from Texas, why not leave him in Texas? Because they sent him back to Texas to have a family funeral. Why bring him to the Capitol building? Because there was something that happened right in front of everybody's eyes. And remember, it's a sermon in stone. It's cryptic, sealed, symbolized, occulted. It's hidden. They don't want to reveal it. The Bible does. This is St. Peter's Basilica. It's the center of power in the Vatican. What does it represent? It represents the heavens. Now, here's something you didn't know. See where this chandelier is. That exact spot above where that chandelier is where George Bush's body was, in that exact spot. You're looking at when they originally built the Capitol building. This exact spot right here was intended to be Washington's crypt. George Washington's crypt. They intended to have his body there entombed in that exact spot. Now, this is in the lower part of the Capitol building, in the basement, underneath, in the pit, in the heart of the Capitol building, in the lower parts, the deep. You see what I'm saying? Washington's body was to be entombed right here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight pillars. Eight, because the beast is the eighth and he's of the seven. Now, the meaning is you have Washington's crypt. Washington's tomb was supposed to be right there, but for some reason it never was. Where's the beast right now? He's in the pit. But he wants to ascend out of that, like the 33 miners. He wants to ascend, like the stars. They want to ascend out of that. So rising up out of the pit, there's George Bush. There's his body lying in state. How many guards are guarding him? Dun, dun, dun. And his body, his casket, his crypt, is facing something directly above his head. What is it that his dead body's looking at? This is called the apotheosis of George Washington. I want you to notice that here's George. He's surrounded by all these gods. This is the heavens. See the clouds? By the way, see the rainbow here? Neptune, Mercury. I'm not sure who this is. But he's in the vault of the heavens where the gods are. He has been apotheosized. He has been turned into a god, like the man of sin who is in the pit. He seeks to rise up to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, surrounded by the 72 nations of the earth, or carried by the 72 nations of the earth. The fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fall from heaven. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And all of these things start coming up out of the pit. And in Revelation 9:11, I did a video called The Beast of 9:11. It's going to give you a lot more information than this. But it says they had a king over them, which is the angel. And angel is a star. Remember, the 33 miners were all wearing t-shirts with stars on them. Pentagrams. Upside down pentagrams. The angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, the destroyer. The destroyer of the Gentiles is come, the Bible says. Wow. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Lucifer says, I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what this is all about. The idea that Washington's body was here, and now he rises up. One, two, three. To the third heaven. To become a god. That's what this is all about. A sermon in stone. Cryptic. Sealed. So as not to reveal the true nature of what it is that's going on here, what it is that you're seeing. Here is the phrase E pluribus unum. Who sent me a text here? 3 days! I knew it! I knew it! He's laying there 3 days. Because what happened to Christ on the third day? He rose again from the pit, from the grave, and came up to the earth and then ascended on high. And that is exactly what this is. So think of Christ being in the tomb. He rises again. He's on the earth. Then he rises up to the third heaven. Good job, Ariel. E pluribus unum. What does that mean? Do you know there's 13 letters in that? There are, here's Washington, right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There you go. These two here are like the two pillars, Jacob and Boaz. Okay. Where's my pen? There it is. A sermon in stone, a cryptic sermon in stone. 13 words, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. They meant to put this statue in the rotunda of George Washington. And everybody thought it was, in fact, they had it there for a while. And everybody said, that's disgusting. It's distasteful. And it basically enthrones George Washington as a god in statue form, just like Baphomet. Notice this, as above, so below. As above, so below. Here's St. Peter's Basilica. Notice the dome, it represents the skull, the beast rising up from the heart of the earth, from the sacred holy place, the sacrum bone, rising up the 33 bones of the spinal column to the skull of the head, which represents the most high place. Here it is on the inside, and the dome always represents the dome of the heavens, the most high place. I want you to notice there are exactly, see these stars? There's exactly 32 of them, this one being the 33rd one right here. Bum, 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 bum. And it's the same, exact same design as the U.S. Capitol building. Because directly, I mean directly underneath this dome of 33 stars is St. Peter's chair, and directly underneath St. Peter's chair is St. Peter's tomb. This is St. Peter's chair. This is called the Baldacchino. You see these columns, these pillars? These pillars are the pillars of heaven. Anytime you have a ceiling, ceilings represent heaven. What's down here represents earth. Notice these pillars, they're not just holding up heaven. They're joining together heaven and earth. And here's St. Peter's chair. And what do these pillars look like? They're Solomonic pillars. What do they look like? DNA. And there's four of them. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Because they, the heavens, shall mingle themselves with what? The seed of men. And what is directly underneath this little throne area? A tomb. Just like in the U.S. Capitol building. Ba, ba, ba. We have secrets written in stone. secrets in buildings. Now, you would expect, okay, the Vatican, I get that. One of the greatest repositories of the mystery doctrine is the Vatican. So, you literally have a temple of God here with the beast down in the heart of the earth wanting to rise up and then rise up again to the third heaven. That's what St. Peter's Basilica is all about. But so is the U.S. Capitol building. Same concept. You have a crypt down beneath. You have this sacred place where all the U.S. presidents are laid in state for 3 days. 3 days. The idea is that they rise again and become gods. Man, this is messed up, people. But it's the world we live in. We are wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, the angels, the spirits, and spiritual wickedness. I didn't mention this. The Capitol building, what do they say on the news all the time when they're referring to Congress? Yes, here is our reporter, Bill Johnson. He is at Capitol Hill. Why? Because it was named after Capitoline Hill, which is in Rome. And it's where the seat of government was. In a high place. A hill is a high place. And the U.S. Capitol was built on this exact spot, on this hill. Capitol Hill, and it is spiritual wickedness happening in high places. Now you know some of the secrets. When you believe the Bible, there just isn't anything that they can do that's hidden. God reveals it all. Why I love the Think Bible.